With the disaster at the Fukushima nuclear plant, will there be a shift in global power production?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The head of the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission says no changes are needed in American nuclear policy for now, and that all reactors in this country are safe. In Japan, the operator of the Fukushima Daiichi plant, Tokyo Electric Power Company, or TEPCO, has been under the microscope. This isn't the first time. As we continue to cover the human and economic toll in Japan, Marketplace's Asia Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz is with us from Tokyo with the latest. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Steve. From a pretty shaky Tokyo, we just had another aftershock.
Ooh. Are you guys okay?
Yeah, we are. It shook for a long time, though. Pretty big one.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about this company, TEPCO, Rob, and walk us through what happened at that plant.
Well, TEPCO is the fourth largest power company in the world. It's the biggest one in Japan, and it currently owns a third of the electricity market in Japan and runs three nuclear power plants. The Fukushima Daiichi plant that's now leaking radiation was its first nuclear plant, and that plant has six reactors. TEPCO's had problems with its other reactors before. A few years ago, it was forced to shut down another plant after an earthquake. At that time, TEPCO said the plant hadn't been designed to cope with such a large quake. It's also been caught falsifying nuclear safety data at least 200 times, and it's had a former president and board members step down because of those problems.
You know, Rob, is this going to change the mix of power reliance in Japan? Is the country going to shy away from nuclear?
Well, today I spoke to Hirotaka Yamauchi about this. He's an expert on Japan's nuclear power industry. At first, we talked about the politicians in Japan all the way up the chain to Prime Minister Naoto Kan, who've been criticizing TEPCO and saying something needs to change. But Yamauchi put this into perspective. So here he's saying that politicians may be angry and irritated, but they're just showing off. He can't imagine they'd actually change the policy toward nuclear power and go on an entirely different direction with Japan's energy mix. And it should be noted that Japan produces virtually no domestic fossil fuels, and it's always strived to be self-reliant when it comes to energy, so nuclear power was always a way to accomplish that. In fact, before this disaster, Prime Minister Kan vowed to increase the percentage of electricity nuclear power provides to Japan from a third, which is where it's currently at, to 70%. And Yamauchi says, despite all the current problems at Fukushima, he doesn't think that goal is going to change.
All right. Marketplace's Rob Schmitz in Tokyo. Rob, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. The prospect of power being restored in northern Japan has the market higher there. The Nikkei today was up 4.5%. High-end jeweler Tiffany & Company reported profit rose by nearly a third in the last 3 months of 2010. But Tiffany reduced its earnings forecast for the first quarter of this year because of the quake and the tsunami in Japan. 18% of company sales came from Japan last year. European stock markets are slightly higher at the moment. Airline United Continental says it's raising its fares across the board, $10 each way. Wall Street yesterday, markets continued their upbeat mood. The Dow tacked on 178 points to close at 12,036.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mini, with 37 miles per gallon and 3 years or 36,000 miles of boot-to-bonnet maintenance. MiniUSA.com/info. By Mass Mutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. And by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com.
In Los Angeles this week, auditions took place for the American version of Simon Cowell's talent show, X Factor. In Britain, the version there has become a prime way for record companies to scout new acts. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports the internet has been a factor, too.
Simon Cowell is no longer judging American Idol. He's now working on his new show, The X Factor. It's been on British television for 7 seasons, and it's been so successful that it's become one of the British music industry's main ways to discover new pop stars. Mike Smith is managing director of Columbia Records. The walls of his office are covered with music posters, and as he picks through a pile of CDs, he admits to relying on new ways to find hits.
In the old days, you would waste a lot of money travelling around, checking things out that weren't good enough.
But talent scouts aren't just sitting around watching primetime TV. Smith says that isn't going to produce enough records, so labels also search through YouTube and MySpace for the next big thing. And yet, the internet hasn't saved the industry. Roy Eldridge has managed music talent for 40 years. He says music piracy has gobbled up record label profits, usually set aside to develop unknown bands.
It's certainly taking fewer risks now than it has done previously. I think the number of artists being signed is reduced, and I think the labels are being much more conscious of what they're signing.
And with budgets tightened by internet music piracy, the big record labels are instead spending their remaining revenue on promoting older established acts. That's according to a report from consulting firm Deloitte. Alex Mattinson's lead singer for The Single Spy. He has no interest in auditioning for Idol or X Factor.
So for a band like ours, where the music is not uncommercial, but I can't imagine would be top 40, a label's going to be more cautious, perhaps, in terms of putting money into it.
With more than 4 million rock and hip-hop acts on MySpace alone, bands like The Single Spy are struggling more than ever to stand out from the crowd. Instead of being the way home, the internet may have just led bands astray. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
And finally, German automaker Porsche says it would like to contribute to cleaning up the environment. It's presenting its new model, the 918, the sports car that'll reduce carbon emissions and empty the wallets of millionaires everywhere. The plug-in hybrid will be available in 2013 at a cost of $845,000. It'll jet from 0 to 60 in an incredible 3.2 seconds. Wow. But you won't jet for long in electric-only mode. It has a range of 16 miles before you have to plug it in again. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Don't mess around with fire because the little things can make a big difference.
If all homes were sprinklered, we would anticipate that the death rate due to fires would go down by at least 83% based on cost-benefit studies.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. The Freakonomics of Fire and the numbers from Wall Street as well. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.